Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
What do you do when your prayers aren't answered? And I don't know about you, but I have had a long career of prayer, and along with this long career, because I'll be 59 in just a few months, and so I've been a Christian for a long time, married to this man for 30 years in the ministry for almost that long. And I've been praying for my husband and the church since I became a pastor's wife and a pastor. So I've prayed for a very, very long time. And I've had some amazing answers to prayer. I've had miracles. I've had things that we'd be here all night if I told you all the things that God has done in my life and answers to prayer. This church is an answer to prayer. I sat up in my jacuzzi in Lake Arrowhead, overlooking the rim of the world, in an old broken-down house that my husband didn't even want to buy, but he bought it for me because he loved me. And there was a jacuzzi, and it was called Rim of the World. And it was actually, the street was called Ocean View Drive, and there was an old jacuzzi, and I would sit in that jacuzzi and see all the lights of this valley. And God began to speak to me and gave me a promise out of Isaiah that I'll give you the treasures out of darkness. And I began to pray over all those lights, and God says, those are treasures. Those lights represent people. I want you to pray over the city. And this church, I believe, is a direct result of those prayers. So I know God answers prayers, but I also know in my long career of praying that I've had a lot of prayers not answered. And it seems like there's seasons and there's times. And some things, boy, it just happens like that. And then other things, it's like pulling teeth and it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Has anybody felt that way? And I don't know how you feel right now, but I feel like I'm in a season of unanswered prayer. Does anybody else feel that way? Well, not very many hands went up, so I'm hoping your prayers are getting answered like that. That's awesome. How many feel that way right now? I want to see if I'm speaking to people tonight that you have a lot of prayers that haven't gone answered lately. A lot of questions, a lot of things that are happening. So I wanted to just cover some things tonight about why prayers maybe aren't answered and some things that God wants us to do about it. So are you ready? I want to give you a scripture out of Psalm 22. And this is a psalm that David wrote. He was a prophet as well as a king. And it said that Messiah rehearsed this psalm and spoke this psalm on the cross, but this is a messianic psalm, and this is actually prophetic of Messiah and what was going to be happening to the Lord on the cross. And let me read it to you. In the first three verses, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I just wanted to introduce, if Jesus felt like sometimes God didn't answer, if David felt that way, then we're in good company. So just because our prayers aren't being answered doesn't mean that we've done something wrong, but it also doesn't mean that we haven't done something wrong. I want to give you another word. Proverbs 15:8 is a great verse because I want you to before we go into this, I want to really make sure that we understand that God loves us to pray and needs us to pray. God does nothing except by prayer and through prayer. I believe that. I believe that he has made covenant with his people on the earth and that he uses us and works through us. Now he's sovereign. Of course, he can do what he wants to do. But God has chosen. He has chosen. He has chosen us, and he has chosen to bind himself to us because it says in Ephesians, the second chapter, that he is the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the firstborn from the dead, the Lord of eternity, the Father of all salvation, our King and our God, Jesus himself, and that he is the head of the church and that we are the body. And therefore, when Paul was persecuting the church in the book of Acts, Jesus stopped him in his tracks and said, why are you persecuting me? So he does not divide himself from us. He does not separate himself from us. As he is, so are we in this earth. In other words, we are bound and bundled together in the life of the Lord and the Savior of our souls. His name is Jesus. He is our head. We is his body. He has made a covenant with us in the earth, his church, to bring his will to pass. That's why it's necessary that we pray. And I believe with all my heart that Satan's one of his greatest weapons is discouragement. So I want you to see this verse. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." The prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in us, and he delights when we come to him. He delights when we come boldly into the throne of grace and we find mercy and we look for grace to help in time of need. He waits for us to come. He longs for us to come and pray. It is the enemy that wants to keep us from prayer. And so I want to look at just a few things tonight about why maybe our prayers aren't getting answered. Are you ready? Number one, sin. Now, I know Jim covered it this morning, but this is my personal opinion. This is my personal opinion. I believe in my nation, I cannot speak for any other church because I'm not in other churches, I'm here. And I'm in this city, I'm not in other cities, so I don't know what's going on. But as I read newspapers and as I travel and as I see, I think we're an indication of what is everywhere. I believe that our nation and the people of God are sleeping and that we have backslidden into a state of lethargy and complacency. And as I read about revivals and as I read about the early church, I know that there was a passion to lay their lives down. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They lived a holy life. They hated evil more than anything. They hated anything that would separate them from the bright presence of God. And they lived holy and upright lives. Therefore, could it be maybe that there's things that have crept into my life as a believer that are not pleasing to God? And I'm deceived, like Jim said, because the nature of deception is you don't know you're deceived. You exchange the truth for a lie and you think it's right. So, just wanted to talk about a few things about sin. First of all, it says in Psalm 66:18 that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Jeremiah said, in Jeremiah 17:39, I believe that's the address. He said, the heart is exceedingly deceitful. Who can know it? In other words, my heart can deceive me. I can think I'm okay and I'm not. Pastor's wife, true confessions, all right? So I'm preaching to me as well as to you. Is this all right? So let's just think. Now, I'm not talking about big sins. I'm just talking about sin. Sin is the breaking of God's law by transgression or neglect. It's called disobedience. When you know to do something and you don't do it, what does the Bible say it is? Sin. I'm going to say that again. When you know to do something and you don't do it, what does the Bible call it? Sin. And sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Those little foxes that would nip at the very roots of the grape plants, and the grapes would cease to bring forth fruit. And all of a sudden, the plant might look okay, but if you looked all the way down to the root where the bottom was, it was all chewed away by these little foxes that were just gnawing away at the life system of that plant. And sometimes when we're not popping, and sometimes when things aren't happening, maybe there's foxes in our hearts that are nipping away at our Christian lives. So I want to look at just a few things. Is that all right? How about marriage? If you're married in here, how's your marriage? Is it going good or are we picking at each other? Because when there is financial trouble and when there is stress and when there is economic trouble, you will be at each other and the enemy will be playing double duty in your lives. And if you don't know that the enemy is out to destroy you, you can give in to the flesh and you can think it's your spouse. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them. Talking about wives and husbands in 1 Peter 3. He says in these verses, he says, wives, reverence your husbands. Love them, adore them, prize them, esteem them. If they're not obeying the word of God, they're going to be won, not by your preaching at them, but by the way that you conduct your life, your reverence for your husband, and your references to include. And he gives a long list of how a wife is to reverence and esteem and adore and prize and admire and enjoy her husband. And then he goes on and he says, now he talks to the husbands and he says, husbands likewise dwell with them, speaking of wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. Somewhere, kindness maybe has slipped away from your marriage. Somewhere, maybe you're picking at each other. I know Jim and I, we've been picking at each other, and God's been dealing with me about this. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we picking at? You know, it's so easy to take people for granted. It is so easy to be kind to everybody else, but you come home and you're just abrupt, and you're grumpy, and you're tired, and you're grouchy, and before you know it, what was once a loving, beautiful family now is an uptight, walking on eggshells place to live because you're both picking at each other, and kindness, and long-suffering, and all this stuff is just sort of seeping away. Could that be a little fox? Maybe that's why prayers aren't being answered. How about this? How about finances? How about tithing and giving? Malachi says, you've robbed me. There's holes in your purse. You got all this money, but it's not going anywhere. And they said to him, why? You can read about it in Malachi. He said, because you've robbed me. You've not brought tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, that my church can take care of what it needs to take care of. You're trusting in money, and you're not trusting me, and you're robbing me. Maybe, as you're praying for finances, have you been generous in giving, or have you been holding back? Talking about prayers not being answered. How about not giving to the poor? Because God says when you stop your ear to the poor, that you stop your prayers. How about stewardship and finances? You know, we're in a financial mess. I think that's not a bad confession. It's just reality. Is that not true? Paying $100 million a day just on the interest of the bailout money. That's a bigger figure than you and I can wrap our minds around. That's just a day on the interest. That's every day on the interest of the bailout money. This nation is in trouble. And the God of mammon and the consumerism of this nation is coming down because God is doing something in this nation. He cares more about my soul than my comfort, my house, my car, my clothes, my stuff. And he says, listen, if you withhold paying your bills when they're due and you can pay them, that's sin. So if we've gotten ourselves in a financial mess and we owe more than we make and we're not paying our bills, then you know, maybe that's why our prayers are hindered. And God is teaching us, listen, if your kids were disobedient to you, you would not enable their disobedience, would you? Would you give them what they ask you for? When you have told them to do something and they don't do it, what parent in here would bless and give their children what they are asking for if they are disobedient to what that parent has deliberately told them to do? Is there a parent in here that would do that? Are there parents in here that would not do that? Can I see your hands? Your hands had better go up. Because if you enable the error of your child, you're going to raise up a child that's going to go astray. Well, if God, being our Father, is gracious, how much more is he going to discipline me if I'm an error? He's not going to enable my sin and my good intention. He's going to straighten me out because he loves me. That's what it says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. How about unforgiveness? God says you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven in prayer. Let me just look at quick Mark 11:25. And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. That your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Guys, I'm not here to beat us apart. I'm here to say, Lord, wake me up. I need answers to prayer. If there's something going on in my heart that isn't pleasing to you and I'm blind to it, then Lord, I really am asking you to straighten me out. And when I ask God to straighten me out, he is faithful to straighten me out and to show me. Okay, let's look at something else. So, number one, prayers aren't answered because of sin. Now, I'm not talking about the big stuff. Look, we can add immorality. We can add all that other stuff. Jim covered that this morning. I'm talking about the little foxes. The little foxes that might be spoiling our vines. How about number two reason why maybe prayers aren't being answered? Because we ask amiss. It's called self-serving prayers. James mentions it, talks about it in James, the 4th chapter. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. God is saying to me, child, you have destiny in your life. I have the kingdom invested in you. I don't need you thinking that I'm some kind of wish book for you and you're some kind of pampered, spoiled little girl that anything you want, I'm going to give you. There are bigger issues at heart here than your immediate needs and what your desires are from your flesh. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to give me the desires of my heart. But God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not telling me that anything I ask for, he's going to just give me because he's my sugar daddy. And there are times when my prayers have not been answered because I have asked amiss. It has been for selfish ambition. It has been for self-centered reasons. It has been for something other than the purposes of God. And again, the heart is exceedingly wicked. It can deceive us. And until God began to show me through unanswered prayer, child, what you have asked me for isn't my plan, and it's self-serving. You see, he wants to correct me and change me and grow me up. So this is a heart check tonight. Let's go on. How about point number three, doubt and unbelief? Why aren't prayers being answered? Well, James 1, 5, and 7 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Oh, the enemy comes in to strip us of faith. The enemy comes in to deceive us. The enemy comes in to condemn us. And the enemy comes in because if he can keep you from prayer, he keeps you from the power source of your life. So if he can keep you from faith, he'll say, it's just not the will of God. It's just not going to happen. He will twist scripture in your heart so that you don't have the faith to ask God for it. When God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Now, I'm just talking about selfish ambitions. You got to do that check in your heart. Proverbs 16:3 in the Amplified, and you might want to write this address down. Roll your works upon the Lord. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. When you and I roll, that word roll is a Hebrew word that has the imagery of a camel laden with a burden, and they take that camel, and that camel lays down, and they roll that burden off of that camel. God says, roll those things off of you. Give them to me. I will cause your thoughts, child, to become agreeable with my will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So God says, I want you praying according to my will. And when you come to my throne, and if your heart is right and you do a heart check, as you begin to delight yourself in me, I'll change your heart so that your desires are what I want for your life. What I want for your life. And God says, now you got to have faith. Dan preached a great message on the Syrophoenician woman. On Wednesday night, I mean, she was a Gentile. She had no covenant with God. She had no right to have any miracle from God. And yet that woman didn't stop. She didn't quit. She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept coming. And she kept coming. Jesus seemed almost rude to her. He didn't answer her. He didn't talk to her. And then when he finally does, he says, it's not right for me to give meat from the children's table to you. And then she answers him this, and she says, truth, Lord. You're right, Lord. I'm no covenant person with you. I'm a woman. I am unclean. I'm a Gentile. I have no right to you, God. But, oh, Lord, even the little puppies under the table, even the dogs, Lord, they eat the crumbs from the master's table. And what she was saying is, oh, Jesus, I don't need the loaf of bread. I just need a crumb because one crumb is enough to heal my daughter, and that's all I'm coming after. And he stepped back and he said, woman, great is your faith. She believed him. She said, look, I know who you are. I know that I don't need the loaf. I'm not an Israelite. I don't claim the privilege of that. Oh, but Jesus, all I need is one little crumb from you. And that stopped him in his tracks. It sped up the time. And faith was released and her daughter was healed at that moment. God says, bring faith to the throne of God. Bring faith. How about timing? We quit too soon. We quit too soon. We think, well, I guess it's not the will of God. I'm just going to move on because it's just too painful to be disappointed week after week after week. Week after week. Well, I didn't have that baby. Well, that husband didn't come. Well, that job didn't come. Well, I guess it's not the will of God that my house be sold. Well, And so we back away, and doubt and unbelief come flooding into our hearts. Condemnation piles up at us. Well, it's because you're wicked. And God's just saying, you quit too soon. You quit too soon. Galatians 4:4, I'm almost done. In the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Don't you think there are Israelites that cried out to God century after century after century, "Hear, O Lord, where is Messiah? Why has he not come?" Don't you think they prayed and they longed and they waited and they waited and they waited? Finally, it was time. Don't you think Mary and Martha would have loved to have Jesus come and heal Lazarus and not have to go through the death? But God had a plan that wasn't their plan, and there was a fullness of time that had to come. So we quit too soon. Listen, folks, God may have another plan. It may not be our plan. And the reason prayers aren't answered, number one, I believe, is because there's sin. That's the first thing I've got to check. Lord, search me, know my heart, see if there be any wicked thing in me. God, convict my heart so I can repent and I can get right. Let me just get right, Lord, so we can move on. I want to move past this stagnancy. Lord, am I asking amiss? Am I selfish? Is this selfish ambition? Oh, Lord, I'm rolling my burdens and my desires on you, Lord. And you promised me that you'd cause my thoughts to become agreeable with your will. So, Father, if this isn't your will, then, Lord, change my heart. Here's my heart. Turn it. Change it. It's yours, God. Doubt and unbelief. Cast it behind you. When you find a promise of God, it's yours. That Syrophoenician woman just wanted a crumb. One crumb is enough. We've been given the measure of faith. Timing, we quit too soon. Let's don't quit too soon. God's got a plan. It may not be ours, but he's got a plan. And whatever that plan is, it's going to be better than anything you ever dreamed or desired. I mean, Mary and Martha had to go through the death of Lazarus, but oh my goodness, here was a dead man, 4 days in the tomb. He stunk. The Jews believed 3 days and your spirit departed. So Jesus made sure he waited so there could be nothing that had ever been done like that. And when he raised him from the dead, there was their brother Lazarus raised from the dead as a living monument of miraculous testimony that Jesus Christ is Messiah King, because they were looking at an ordinary man. Church, God takes ordinary things and does the extraordinary with them. But it's going to take faith. So what do? We're going to pray tonight. What do? We come humbly before the throne of God. God says, "A broken and a contrite heart I will not despise." Some of us need to get right with God tonight. Maybe there's some things that you were convicted of in your heart. Maybe you've been complaining. Complaining about life, complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about whatever. We need to repent of it. It's murmuring. God says, it's a fox. It just steals the faith away from your heart. Makes your prayers of no effect. Not because God won't answer them, because you don't have faith. So we're going to come humbly tonight. We're going to ask forgiveness. We're going to seek his divine will and pray according to the word of God tonight. We're going to release our faith. And we're going to give the timing to him. And walk away from this house tonight in rest and peace, knowing that we've given it to him. It's in his hands. He's got a plan, and it's better than anything we could hope or ask or think. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.